This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from CBS Radio Studios in New York City, it's the DA Show with your host, Damon Amendolara, featuring producer Mraz and the musical sounds of the Zap Zap Orchestra. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here's DA.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Coming up this hour on the show, former NFL offensive lineman Ryan O'Callaghan is going to join us. We'll ask him about the difficult decisions that go into when you walk away, as Andrew Luck decided to do over the weekend, which still has left the sports world reeling. Also this hour, we'll talk about Ezekiel Elliott apparently saying thanks but no thanks to the second highest paid contract for a running back in the NFL. Is he poised to sit out longer than we have all expected? All of that coming up this hour on the show. It's also a Trash Tuesday, so hit us up with your trashes. Who or what are you venting about? 855-212-4227 is the phone number. 855-212-4CBS. And on Twitter, DA on CBS. So Andrew Luck decides on this Saturday night. The sports world heaves and rocks side to side, back to back. What will happen to the Colts' chances? Why did those Colts fans boo? How much was still left on the table for Andrew Luck? Why did he retire now? The timing, the reasoning, the reaction, all of this has totally engulfed the sports world beginning on Saturday night, midway through that game, or a little bit later on, as the Schefter report surfaces. Andrew Luck holds a Saturday night press conference. The entire sports world is discussing this on Sunday, all day Sunday. He's retiring. What happens now? I mean, is the only thing happening in the football world, in the NFL world, for the entire weekend. And after all of that, Bill Belichick is asked about the decision by Luck to retire, since he has faced Luck a number of times. And here is Bill Belichick's response.
Yeah, he's a good player. I didn't see that, but I haven't really followed them. So, you know, we all have to make our decisions. He made his. I respect it.
I didn't see that, but I haven't really followed them.
Now, let's face it. As weird and as socially anxious and as socially awkward as Bill Belichick is, it would be really weird for Bill Belichick to say he didn't see Andrew Luck's retirement or hadn't heard about it because he doesn't really follow the Colts. I mean, even as crazy as Belichick is, that would be totally insane. Well, the Patriots realize how awful that sounded, how ridiculous that sounded, how absurdist that sounded, and came back and said, well, it's not that Bill didn't know he retired. When he said, I didn't see that, he meant, I didn't see it coming. I couldn't have predicted that. I haven't really followed the story that closely. Okay, that makes a little more sense. But I'll tell you my read on this. My read is, of course Bill Belichick knew Andrew Luck retired. It's a fun parlor game. It's a fun ha-ha.
wink, wink, nudge, nudge of Belichick's in this hole and doesn't realize what is going on around him and is so consumed by the next day's practice, so consumed by the last guy on his depth chart, so consumed by the long snapper and where the positioning is on an extra point attempt, that we can poke fun at the fact that Belichick doesn't even know that the biggest sports story in the world is going on. But that's a lie. That's a lie, because part of what makes Bill Belichick so damn good is that he's preparing for Week 17 already. He has looked at that schedule. He has prepared everything for every opponent and will continue to tweak and look and prepare. The Patriots prepare for 2020 and 2021 and 2022 and 2018 and 2019. So don't tell me that Belichick didn't know that the star quarterback of one of the teams he would hypothetically have to get through in the playoffs retired and he didn't know. He knew. Of course he knew. But in my estimation, maybe he just meant I didn't see it coming. Maybe he meant that. What I think, though, I think that Bill Belichick is conditioned in front of the media to downplay everything and has done this for 20 years in brilliant fashion in New England. When any Patriots player, and I know this because I lived it, I've been in that locker room, I've asked those questions of those players and that NFL head coach, they are conditioned into rote responses of, well, we only pay attention to what's going on inside this locker room. Well, we don't really know what's going on in anybody else's locker room. That way they can't get pinched on trash talking or speculating about somebody else's team, another player. This is what Belichick teaches. And I think he just got caught in his own rote memorization of answers to these types of things. This is an on to Cincinnati answer. Don't think, just respond robotically, move on. If it's not about your team, and it could be in the gray area of speculation, don't answer it. Do not go anywhere near the third rail. And the Patriots are taught to do this. And I think Belichick has done this so much, he did it there. Because I'll tell you this, when you ask Bill, and I've done this before, about guys who have retired, I once asked him a question about Dick LeBeau. Dick LeBeau had just gotten inducted into the Hall of Fame, voted into the Hall of Fame. He gave me like 7 great minutes on Dick LeBeau in a press conference. He will give you unbelievable context, historical insight into players and coaches that are retired, that are no longer something he's got to worry about. And he respects a lot of guys that have played and a lot of guys that have coached. But in this case, it was too close to the third rail of talking about an opponent, and I think he just went into, I didn't really see it. I didn't know it was going to happen. You can't ask me anything about it because I didn't know. I don't know. Can't ask me anything about it. When in reality, I think that if you would have just asked, I think the reporter wanted to get kind of a glowing report on Andrew Luck because Belichick will normally be very good in those situations. Like, if Belichick gets asked about Andrew Luck a year from now, the answer is going to be amazing. But today, it's too close to, it's an opponent, we don't know, we don't think about it, we don't ask about it. We can't answer that question because we don't know, we don't talk about it, so you can't get us on that, so let's just talk about somebody here, let's talk about our team, let's talk about this week's game plan. We can't even talk about this week's opponent too much. I think he just got nipped by his own type of, this is what happens in the brain when I'm asked about somebody that's playing. Somebody on a different team, I just snap into, I don't know. And then I think he backed himself into a corner with that and then ended up sounding really ridiculous. And I don't think he is necessarily ridiculous in that way. I think he has a lot of thoughts on Andrew Luck and a lot of compliments about Andrew Luck and a lot of thoughts about retirement and decision-making, and he just won't go there. I think in that case, he just won't go there, and then it sounds like you're a robot. 855-212-4CBS, the phone number. Twitter, DA on CBS. It is a Trash Tuesday. Mr. Andrew Bogish, who are you trashing?
DA, I've got one more vacation trash left over from our week on the Jersey Shore 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So we're at the beach, all set up, there for hours. There's a nice little, a nice little like 10 by 10 space between us and the other kind of family set. As everybody's spread out, nobody's encroaching on anybody's space.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, this family comes over. It's two males, three women, and then their combined kids. I don't know if they're aunts, uncles, cousins, whatever. But, I mean, it was 10, 12 people strong. They proceed to jam themselves into this space between the group that already had formed here. Not just set themselves up. All of a sudden, they unfurl this big orange tarp, and they begin to build like an 8x8 lagoon in the middle of the beach.
Oh, my.
So now their chairs have been moved back to the boundaries of all of our setups to make room for their mini pool. They're throwing sand at the they almost bury the guy in front of them's chair with their sand. He's at the water. He comes back and goes, dude, what is going on? And the guy goes, how am I supposed to know? He's like, because you're throwing sand at my stuff. Like, my towel is in sand.
And these are
adults,
should know that. Not
adults.
Kids.
Then they start the process that they're digging the hole, laying out the tarp of going to the water with their regulation buckets to bring water back to fill it up. They make 11 trips, and the water is maybe an inch high. Oh. And the dad goes, this isn't going to work. And we're like, of course it's not. How would you think this was going to work in any possible way? So he made enemies around him.
Uh-huh.
They worked for a good 90 minutes and then went, this is going to take a long time to fill up with water, and just gave up. So that whole family, from the three-year-old to the two dads, trash.
Trash them. Beep.
Sanitation just arrived.
That didn't happen to be the Mirages.
It was not the Mirazes, no. I don't
Schwartz's?
Think it was.
The Rosen Houses?
No. Was leaner than those crews.
I just dealt with an intercontinental flight. And so, as you might imagine, a flight to Europe, the security that involved, the getting there early that involves, all of the little things that would normally annoy you on a short flight goes to level 10 on a long flight. And here's just a brief list of some of the things that I've been quite annoyed by on my trip to and from the UK. Number one, the security line thing is such a problem. I don't know if this is everywhere. I can specifically say at JFK Airport in New York, nobody knows who's going on what line when you've got to get a TSA, who's got pre-check, who's got business class, who's got nothing. Nobody knows. And so there's all these lines, like you're in the longest queue ever for a movie. And they're going back and forth. And everybody's just kind of like bum rushing any which way. And security has no idea. Well, do I go here if I have TSA pre-check? Where does clear go? Where do regular people go? Where does business class go? It just ended up being one giant ant farm where just people kept going and going underneath barricades. Nobody's stopping anything. And if you're employed to organize the TSA lines, just understand where things are going. Because when you throw up your hands and go, I don't know, that doesn't help anybody because we don't know, but you need to know. Number two, I understand working in airports got to be hell on earth. It can't be good. But if you're in the service industry, part of this is just acting like you don't want to kill yourself. I went to go order a ramen bowl before we got on the flight, okay? And I walk up and I say, hi, how are you? And she just stares at me, dead eyes, just dead salamander eyes. I'm like, oh, okay. And I'm like waiting for her to say, what would you have? And I have to make the conversation. I'm like, well, I'm going to have this. And then I have the choice of this broth, right? Then I have the choice of this noodle. And I have to lead her through every one of these things. And I know she can speak English because she was just speaking to a coworker before. And I'm like, this is really awkward because I can't tell if you're nonverbal or if you just hate me. Do you hate me or your life or what? We finally get to the end, and I've got to walk through this whole thing. And she doesn't even say how much it'll be. She just basically waits for me to give her money, and she's going to give me change. I'm like, this is really terrible. If you're in service, at least a small part has to be interpersonal relationship. And then thirdly, the people that take off their shoes at the airport are just the most reprehensible of our human race. You are barbarians. You are Vikings, you are Neanderthals. You do not deserve a place on a propelled machine that flies through the air. This dude, this guy, we're waiting in the waiting area. And now again, this is like an overnight flight. We're departing at like midnight. This guy has taken off his sandals so that he is barefoot. and is waiting in one of those chairs and propped the foot up on his luggage. So everyone's looking at his disgusting, fat, gout-filled hooves with his toenails everywhere. And it's so gross. It's so gross. And this guy, I mean, just classic ugly American. He's probably, you know, 150 pounds overweight. He's got cargo shorts and he's got like a Tommy Bahama on. And he's just walking through, just stretching his legs. Big old haunch, stretch his legs barefoot across the entire airport. I'm like, can I puke right now? I mean, total vomit central.
Hot trash.
So please, trash. Trash all of that. All of that, because it's all bad. This is not your living room or your pool, bro. All right, we'll get to more of your trashes coming up throughout the morning. Ryan O'Callaghan, former NFL offensive lineman, will join us on the difficult decision of when to step away as Andrew Luck decided over the weekend. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
Aw, I love the da.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
23 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Remember that the DA show is available on your phone. If you want to watch it, you can watch it, watchda.com. You can stream us using the radio.com app, using Apple Music, and also the CBS Sports app. We've been discussing Andrew Luck's retirement all morning long. We'll continue. It's also a Trash Tuesday, so you can send us your trashes. We'll read through those and get you guys on the phone as well. Our next guest had a difficult life in the NFL. Some might say a tortured life in the NFL, despite being a offensive lineman for the Patriots and the Chiefs. Ryan O'Callaghan was hiding his sexuality as well as his drug use, and he has written a book about it, My Life on the Line, How the NFL Damn Near Killed Me and Ended Up Saving My Life. Ryan joins us this morning on the show. Ryan, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me on.
My pleasure. Obviously, I want to ask about your personal experiences in the NFL, but first, I want to know, as somebody who played in the trenches in the locker room with guys like Andrew Luck, what did you think about the reaction to Luck's retirement when some people thought it was selfish, indefensible, and some of the fans booed him?
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people realize what it takes to last, you know, the regular season and be successful. You know, no one understands how their body feels better than themselves. And Andrew, in his case, you know, foot injuries are nagging injuries, and he's a smart man, and you know, I obviously don't know, but he probably felt that he wasn't going to be able to make it through the season, and it's frustrating. I mean, he might have been doing the team, you know, justice by retiring and then getting someone else in there that, you know, he felt could be more reliable and dependable, you know, for the season. And more power to him for looking after himself more than his pocketbook.
When people on the outside criticize those types of decisions, how does it make you feel? Because I'm sure that you felt all along that you were kind of being judged from the outside.
Yeah, it's funny to me how invested people get in other people's lives and things like that. It's everyone's got to look out for themselves and what's in their best interest. And, Andrew's a young man and he's got a long life to live. And, you know, I think he's doing the right thing by taking care of, you know, number one first.
Ryan O'Callaghan, former NFL offensive lineman, joins us this morning on the show. How much discussion is there, if there is any, inside an NFL locker room about long-term health ramifications? You guys have more information than ever before. Now we see more guys coming forward and saying, the NFL injured me permanently. How much discussion is there amongst players about that?
You know, during the season, most of the discussion is on the next game. You know, you have a job to do, and you're worried about winning, and a lot of guys are worried about staying on the active roster. You know, everyone's aware of the risks involved. You know, early on, you know, I don't think everyone was aware of the severity of concussions and what that led to in the future. And, you know, there's a lot of guys who have permanent conditions now from playing football. So guys nowadays have a pretty good idea of you know, what they're signing up for. But, you know, day to day, guys are aware of injuries and you know, maintaining good physical and mental health, but you know, but that's not really a topic of conversation.
So you dealt with a totally different can of worms as you were going through your NFL career because you were hiding your sexuality, and that put an enormous personal pressure on yourself, and that you had actually decided to commit suicide after you had retired. So all of this is swirling around your mind, and you detail this in your book, My Life on the Line, and how the NFL damn near killed me but ended up saving my life. How difficult, it's already difficult to play in the NFL. How difficult is it to play in the NFL, but then also have those types of other concerns, personal concerns that are swirling around you and putting incredible pressure on you?
Yeah, I mean, anyone with their job is going to perform better when they have a clear mind and they can focus on the task at hand. You know, I only played football because it was a cover for my sexuality. I never loved the game, but I took staying closeted extremely seriously, and you know, I was passionate about making the team and playing well. You know, looking back, if I was able to actually be myself and be honest and open and have a clear mind, you know, there's no telling what, you know, what I would have been able to do. But saying that, you know, I honestly have no regrets of, you know, the path I took, because, you know, I ended up where I am today, and I really couldn't be happier.
Michael Sam was open before he got drafted into the NFL. His career was short-lived. Do you think that there is space for an openly gay player in the NFL?
Yes. I'm 100% confident that, you know, the locker room would accept an openly gay player. You know, I was shocked and impressed by the number of ex-teammates that reached out to me just to show their support. And, you know, they didn't realize what I had going on, you know, besides football on top of everything else. And they just reached out, you know, including guys like Mike Vrabel and Mr. Kraft, who's been an awesome supporter of mine and my charity since they came out. You know, it's been an overwhelmingly positive experience. But I really do firmly believe the locker room is ready for an openly gay player. You know, I've had the opportunity to meet with college teams and discuss concerns of, you know, an openly gay guy in the locker room, in the shower, and how guys would react. And this younger generation that's making their way up into the NFL is much more open-minded and accepting than guys were even 10 years ago.
And I would never try to put myself in your shoes because I don't know what this is like, but I always felt like when I went into NFL locker rooms, the brotherhood that is bonded there is well stronger than us on the outside ever realized, and that there's been a lot of gay players in the NFL that have played but have been closeted, and teammates kind of knew but didn't discuss it. I'm sure it's a totally different feeling when you're that person and you've grown up in your life not wanting anybody to know, let alone your teammates, and so that kind of carries over. But is there more trust within the locker room than we realize on the outside?
Short answer, yes. No, it's a brotherhood. You know, guys, you spend an extreme amount of time with each other. You know, even in college, but the NFL specifically, you spend a lot of time with each other. Now, obviously, once you get the NFL, guys have, you know, married, kids, and a lot of other things going on. But it really is a brotherhood of sorts, and you have a pretty good idea of what's going on in each other's personal lives. And like you said, there are plenty of closeted guys that are playing. You know, I'm pretty sure there are some guys actively playing that know of their teammates and that are fine with it. But as far as it goes publicly, you know, no one's stepped up to the plate yet to come out and be that first, you know, open gay player.
Ryan O'Callaghan joins us this morning on the show. He's written a memoir about his life in the NFL, the dark times, the honest times. It's been called one of the most compelling books by a player, a former player, in a long time. It's called My Life on the Line, How the NFL Damn Near Killed Me and Ended Up Saving My Life. It's available now. Ryan O'Callaghan joining us. Ryan, thanks so much for sharing your story. Thanks so much for the time today.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for having me on.
Ryan O'Callaghan joins us, and he played for the Patriots and the Chiefs on the offensive line. We'll continue with your phone calls here on a Trash Tuesday at 855-212-4CBS. and on Twitter, DA on CBS. And we fold this conversation, the Ryan O'Callaghan situation, into the Andrew Luck decision and how difficult it is to retire and how difficult guys' lives are on the interior. And I try to be as self-aware as possible. I'm not the best at it, but I try. And I recognize that I am part of this complex where we spend inordinate amounts of times discussing other human beings and what they do. And this is a wonderful, I really feel like sports is wonderful in so many ways. I really think it's very healthy in many ways, and it's really beneficial in many ways. I think it helps create unity and bonding and familiarity and happiness and joy in ways that the rest of our world can't. And this is why I'm invested in it, which is why I love it, which is why I've devoted my life to it. It also, in many ways, makes me really happy. I really am excited by it. But there are parts of it that are really dispiriting. There are parts of it, just to be honest, that are really kind of gross. And a little bit of the grossness came out this week with the Andrew Luck situation, because who has any right to tell Andrew Luck what to do with his life? Based on what? Based on timing? Based on what we think he should be or should be thinking? It just, to me, is, it's gross. It's kind of gross. And I look at Ryan O'Callaghan and I think the same thing, that the idea that any of us know what it's like to be closeted while playing in the NFL and fearing that the moment you were honest, everything in your life would be ripped away and you would be alienated, and to plan on committing suicide, which he did the moment he retired, is something none of us could ever know. Some of you might be gay that are listening right now. Some of you might be closeted. Some of you might have a sibling or a family member or a friend that is closeted or came out, and you've heard those stories. But none of us know what it's like to be closeted in the NFL and just be trying to play this ultimate gladiator game in sport and define yourself by this machismo, but know that in your mind you feel like it's a total cover, that you are a fraud, and that you might as well kill yourself. There's no way to know this, and it is gross when we just expect we know what's best for everybody. And that happened this week with Andrew Luck. I mean, I am bummed Andrew Luck is not playing football. I'm bummed. I really liked watching him play. I really loved just how thoughtful, but how also he just seemed to be a really good guy, really good at his game, at the toughest position. And who didn't like watching Luck? I mean, he just was everything you could have wanted to watch and root for in the NFL or professional sports. And so to have him go away is a bummer. I wanted to see if he was going to end up in the Hall of Fame. I wanted to see if he would end up in a Super Bowl. I wanted to see what the career would hold. But it is so far from my call to judge what or when he decides. 855-212-4CBS. On Twitter, DA on CBS. More of your trash is coming up here. Plus, Ezekiel Elliott reportedly was handed an offer that would have made him the second highest paid running back in the NFL, and he declined. Does he have more of a stomach than we knew for holding out? We'll do that and get to your phone calls and your tweets next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Don't like something? Get it out.
Don't say I always listen to my mother. I'm not listening to my mother. Told me to bring up the clothes that were folded downstairs to all the bedrooms. Guess who didn't do it? Me. Because I'm a man and I don't listen to my mother. I'm a man. You don't tell me to bring up clothes that were folded for other people in the house. No way. You let them sit on that couch. I don't have a guest book the rest of the week. How about I give her some numbers? You go book a guest, Mom. How about that?
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah. And we might involve the stepmom or the grandmom or the mother-in-law as well. All the moms, just start booking all of our guests around here. 43 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Did you know that Sunday morning football returns next weekend, a week from Sunday, week one of the NFL season? I am back for the best 2 hours in football radio in the country right here on CBS Sports Radio. And we've moved it 1 hour later so that it dovetails into NFL pregame shows at noon Eastern time. 10 until noon every Sunday, 10 until noon Eastern time. I'll be breaking down college football Saturdays and then previewing NFL Sundays right here. Sunday morning football season number 4 returns week 1 of the NFL season. And that leads us into the game plan for success sponsored by Napa, taking a look at a team and their plan for success. How about the Oregon Ducks and Auburn Tigers kicking off their season's primetime Saturday night? The game plan for success, oh, this gets me so excited. For Oregon, the arm of Justin Herbert, sneaky good preseason Heisman pick. We've talked about this. Good long odds, which are good for you to make money. The Ducks quarterback making a risky decision, not entering the NFL draft this past spring where he would have been one of the highest picked quarterbacks. But can he put on a show to lead his team to the Pac-12 championship? It begins on Saturday night against a good SEC team in Auburn. Napa Auto Parts, the expertise and parts you need to help you keep your car on the road no matter how many miles it has. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how. This is week 1 of the college football season. It is a Trash Tuesday, so let's take out the trashes. Mike tweets, I'm trashing last night a little after 9 p.m. this bozo that ran over the gas pump literally right in front of me. Oh, by the way, I was going to pull up to the same pump. Hashtag, how did that happen? Not paying simple attention.
Let's face it. That's straight trash.
E tweets, I'm trashing people who drive slow on the road, but as soon as you try to pass them, they decide to race and play speed up.
Splash Brothers, more like the Trash Brothers.
Kevin tweets, I'm trashing Felipe Franks for acting like he was dominating the game like he was Tom Brady or something. Hashtag, come on, man. Hashtag, winner of the Heisman Trophy, not. Hashtag, Felipe Franks.
Stinky debris.
Woof, I was in London and thankfully I watched some highlights and read up about it after that game was over. Because that was happening at like 4 in the morning my time. Whew. Sounded like that one was one gross game between Florida and Miami.
Awful. And Miami's true freshman quarterback cannot hold onto the ball at all. But Felipe Franks stinks. That's going to be rough for Florida all year. He makes one great play and it's 5. Just what are you doing? Where are you throwing the ball? But then he throws a dime 40 yards down the field and he's celebrating like he's Baker Mayfield. It's atrocious.
And Florida is one of the best teams of the SEC East, and perhaps, I mean, they're a preseason top 15 team. I think that's overrated.
They have no shot to beat Georgia with Felipe Franks, a quarterback.
But Felipe Franks will make one unbelievable throw, and you'll go, wow, that kid can do it. And then 3 he'll throw into the dirt or into the hands of oncoming defenders or just make the wrong read, and you'll go, what are you even looking at?
Like, honestly made you realize, feel like he didn't practice for the last 6 weeks leading up to the game. Like, what are you doing, dude?
Trash Tuesday, so hit us up with the trashes. We'll read through more of them and get to your phone calls. I do want to touch on this Ezekiel Elliott situation because Ezekiel Elliott reportedly has been offered a contract to make him the second highest paid running back in the NFL behind only Todd Gurley. And apparently, he turned it down. ESPN's Ed Werder says that the Cowboys offered Elliott a contract that would have paid him the second highest contract in the league for an NFL running back worth more than Le'Veon Bell. I mean, I don't know. Well, I do know. I do know. I guess that the Zeke team feels, and Zeke included, that there's no reason to say yes to anything before week 1. That wherever the Cowboys are right now, they'll only go up. That there's no way week 1 will roll around and football will be played, real football, and Tony Pollard or Alfred Morris or whoever is going to look like Zeke or be all that effective. And so the Zeke party, Team Zeke, is just saying wherever they are right now, let's just keep saying no because they can only go up. And then once we start losing game checks is when we finally have to say yes, depending on what your stomach is for losing the game checks. But until we're not losing game checks, it doesn't make any sense to say yes because they won't go down. It's not like Jerry Jones is going to slide an offer on the other side of the glass and then it's going to be the second highest paid running back in the NFL and then week 1's going to roll around and they're going to pull it back and say, no, sorry, now you're going to be the 4th highest paid running back in the NFL. I don't think that's going to happen. I think they know that's not going to happen. But to me, fair market value is more than Le'Veon and less than Todd Gurley because Todd Gurley's contract is unwieldy. Todd Gurley's contract is silly. Todd Gurley's contract is just a bad contract, and everybody in the NFL knows it's a bad contract. It's a bad contract because he has dealt with the injuries, and luckily Zeke has not. But, you know, at that position in this NFL with that quarterback and that offensive line, Ezekiel Elliott should be. I mean, I think you kind of have to throw out Todd Gurley's contract. I know that's unfair, but you kind of do. And then if you put Zeke as the highest paid running back not named Todd Gurley, which is the dopiest contract arguably in the NFL, that's probably exactly where Zeke should be, more than Le'Veon. And that would feel fair. And if I'm the Cowboys, Zeke saying no to that contract, if that's in truth what it was, depending on the guaranteed money now. The guaranteed money is a big deal, but if he says no to being the second highest paid contract more than Le'Veon Bell, I could see why the Cowboys would be bothered. And you know me, I'm not one to often defend Jerry Jones, but if he turned down more money than Le'Veon Bell, then if I'm the Cowboys front office, yes, I am bothered by that. I am annoyed by that because I think that was a pretty good faith offer if that's indeed the case. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Everyone, quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance too. Get it all, geico.com. Johnny's in Texas, listening on Sirius XM Channel 206. Johnny, who are you trashing?
Man, I'm trashing that awesome camera angle on Sunday Night Football. Man, if I wanted to sit in the nosebleed section, I'd go to the game. It's just, I don't know about you, D.A., but that was pretty bad. Man.
Trash
pretty
it.
Bad. Warm, sizzling garbage.
Sam Rubinoff, make sure those trashes are at proper audio level because these are very important voice guy moments, and we need to really have the full impact of the trash. Mr. Mraz, I'm getting a lot of feedback on this.
Okay.
On this bad camera angle. How bad was it? I didn't see it.
I have to be honest. The Sunday night game took place during my plumber incident. I didn't see any of Steelers Titans, so I can't give you a fake take on it. I did not see the angle. I usually pride myself on watching all of this, but I had a plumber falling all over my toilet and bleeding out, and I have yet to hook up DirecTV in the house.
The way that you described it, you had a 450-pound plumber.
Yeah.
Now, that seems slightly overweight to be doing the job.
He looked like Huge Freeze.
Okay, and huge is not 450.
So, okay, I probably overshot it, but picture a man of Huge Freeze's stature.
In the public eye or physically?
Physically. I hope not in the public eye.
And he tripped on something, fell on top of your toilet, and split it wide open.
From what I can gather, he removed the toilet to snake underneath the toilet to clean whatever was in the pipes, which, by the way, the end of the story ended up being raw chicken was somehow down there from my previous owner.
Wow.
They were throwing raw chicken and flushing it down the toilet.
And how old is this raw chicken?
Well, we don't know. It smelled, the whole apartment smelled like chicken when he pulled it
out.
Oh,
God.
Dude, it's
Oh, awful. God. Now, we hear horror stories about buying a foreclosure. You have done this, and these are the problems.
Don't do it. Don't do it. House looks great now. House is going to be great. Sucks that these 2 weeks have been hell. Now, yeah, what happened was he pulled the toilet off. Proper plumber takes the toilet out of said room before they snake. This guy let it just sit against the wall, and because he was so heavy, and because my house was getting hot, he was dripping sweat. He started sweating as he was snaking, and his hands were so soaked and his shirt was so soaked that he actually slipped. His hand slipped. It caused him to stumble back, crushed the toilet, knocked it over, sweaty hand, then slid himself on the broken, whatever you want to call the ceramic of the toilet, and that caused the blood. So he didn't take the toilet completely out, and then he was sweating like crazy, which caused a slip and a fall.
Roto-Rooter, though, is replacing your toilet.
Yes, they are. Everything is being taken care of.
This guy's clearly out of a job.
Yeah, I don't know. It's been a rough 48 hours for him. I felt bad. Such a nice guy. But, I mean, and again, I will say, I blame my mother-in-law. It shouldn't have been this guy's fault that all this chain of events happened. My regular plumber would have been there yesterday if she just didn't run the dishwasher. D.A., if you say to me, hey, your dishwasher water's sitting, and I said, yeah, I know it's been like that, my plumber's going to determine what the problem is on Monday, would you take that for code of let me figure out the problem on my own, or okay, I'll let the plumber deal with this?
I also think you're in a really tough situation where your in-laws feel like they own the joint because last week your father-in-law was smoking in the house.
Correct. He came back tail between the legs. No cigarettes lit the last couple days.
Okay, but now your mother-in-law is taking control of the house.
Yeah, and I think it's because their daughter's pregnant. I do think there's an element to that, and they want to just make sure everything's okay. And maybe there's a lack of trust with me making sure everything's okay. But I got this. Like, I got this. And I appreciate everybody's help who's helped me. But, like, I got this. We don't have to make mistakes. We don't have to give up grand slams here. Let's stop. When I say water is sitting, my plumber is coming, that means I've handled that. That doesn't mean let me see if I could play hero and determine the problem.
That's walking the first batter of the inning,
yes,
in the ninth.
Because now more problems, and a chain of events happened. Now the man's arm is almost slid off and needs to be amputated.
And what was the sound of the plumber falling into?
It was, oh, no. Just like that.
Oh, no. I broke the toilet. Mario.
He did say this is not the first time.
More of your phone calls on Trash Tuesday and the Andrew Luck long-term situation for the Colts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.